This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard, bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to The Undercard. Unsure the episode number, but let's rock and roll. What's the date, though? January?
19th.
January 19th. All right, let's do this.
Yeah, let's go 19th.
All right, January 19th. Undercard, thanks for joining us.
Yeah,
173.
Episode 173.
Now I'm on the show. There we go.
There we go.
We did that on purpose, Marv.
I'll leave, dude.
Marv was not here last week, but we had a really good boxing show last week.
We did have a really good boxing show.
Boxing.
Good. It was.
Nonstop.
That's awesome. That's not going to happen again this week, is it?
Yes, a little
bit. Damn it, I hate boxing.
We're going to talk to Ed Williams, who's fighting on the Dimitri Salida card. And he's going to be joining us at about the 7:15 mark. And then I have a very special guest for you guys. Unfortunately, you saw him in the green room. I was trying to surprise you guys.
I let him up.
Okay. Well, what we're going to do is...
Before you knew, like, when you opened the door downstairs, you had to be a little bit like, what the?
No, he's probably like right away. He's like, that's probably Brad's guest.
Well, and it's exactly what it was. And I knew what it was because he was in the parking lot on the other side, and I saw them putting the jetpack on, and I'm like...
Shut up, Jimmy. It's a surprise.
I know, but, well, you never know.
That could be anyone. That
yeah,
could
exactly.
be someone from the jetpack.
But I'm like, oh, that's got to be Brad's special
you
guest.
Know, I would kill you right now, but you're no good to me dead.
I'm no good to you alive either.
Nice. Really?
So now it's a conundrum.
Oh,
so what we're going to do is...
I'm Schrodinger's cat for you.
Oh, God.
It's been time. We've given everyone enough time. We're going to talk Star Wars. We're
yes.
going to break down some plot. We're going to talk
yep.
some characters. I don't care
yep.
if you didn't see it. It's your fault.
If you didn't, spoiler alert, if you haven't seen it.
Don't listen to the episode anymore. Get 2 minutes in on SoundCloud
yep.
and then get off.
Yep.
But get your 2 minutes in.
Yeah.
I'll tell you when you can
there
leave
you go.
In 2 seconds.
And you can leave.
And it's been 2 minutes. You can go. All right.
You can wait till the first break.
We also have James
Gray
joining
us.
Everything. Yeah. James Gray's going to be joining us.
And all of
he has a ton of news. With Scorpion
yeah.
Fighting System. So on the back half, we're going to talk a little bit of UFC and MMA in the world. And then we also have one other guest. We have Michael Akers, who is throwing a charity fights. So Dom O'Grady, we lost him probably about a month ago now, or at least 3 weeks ago. He's throwing a charity event so his daughter can actually have a little bit of money. Dom left us way too early, 34 years old. Heart attack. He's a guy that one of the first MMA events I ever covered, he was fighting for Donna Frio. So we're going to talk to him about his event. Go out there and support. So that's what the show is tonight, guys. Mm-hmm. We're going to rock and roll. Thanks for joining us, Marv. That's how it works. Barnes is in Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know.
But see, he
living
has a...
Living the life again.
Well,
dude.
But he's down there training. So, I mean, it's not like he's down there on the beach every day, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah, he's training, but then the other hours he's on the beach.
Is well, it, of course
well,
he is, but
is
I
it,
mean...
But the thing is, it necessary to train in Puerto Rico?
Yes.
Why?
Because some of the best fighters are down there.
Okay.
And that's where you train. You know, iron sharpens iron. You want to be the best, you got to train with the best.
I understand that, but couldn't they have just flown a couple up here?
Oh, okay, so let me think here. If you're a boxer...
My point is...
Well, no, hold on. If you're a boxer...
There's nothing special about Puerto Rico.
Yeah, there is.
I've seen videos. It's nice.
It's Puerto Rico, and you can train in boxing. Why on earth would you invite a bunch of people from Puerto Rico to come up here where it's cold as you know what?
Or
you go down there and train where it's nice and sunny.
My point is there's nothing in the air in Puerto Rico that makes you a better fighter.
Here's the thing I'm going to say about Barnes,
not
right?
The cold.
He's been sending me videos after he's been working out. I don't know if you're jumping in a pool or the ocean. I wouldn't know the difference. Show me actually you working out, Barnes, okay? I just see you wet. That could have been a pool. That could have been an ocean.
Are you sure he's sending you to the right person?
Yeah. Like
he's just dripping. He's
that
like,
could be, that could just, be a Bailey.
He's just dripping. He's like, it's been a full workout. And I'm like, yeah. That could have been a pool, dude. I don't know.
I think Jimmy's right. He meant to send those to Bailey.
That must have been for Bailey. She's getting all the actual workout ones.
He's like, I'm all sweaty and stinky. Made me think of you.
She's getting the ones, hey, I'm not going to make the undercard this week. I'm in Puerto Rico, right, 51st state.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so, she's like, oh, okay. In the meantime, Brad is getting like...
He's going to come back and he's going to be sore Puerto Rico. He's like, it should be a state because like we're like they should be the 51st stater. Who's on board? I'll be like, oh, boy. looks like he's having fun.
It'll mess up the flag. We can't.
We love you, Barnes.
It really will.
We love you, Barnes, and we miss you. It's the usual suspects in here. I went through our guest list. Our surprise guest is coming up in the Star Wars talk in probably 20 minutes. And we're joined by Ring Girl Sarah. So let's rock and roll. Yay. Let's start off with Deontay Wilder.
Yeah.
Deontay Wilder improves to 36-0 with 35 KOs. That is sick.
I know.
That's sick.
That's sick.
And I'm going to butcher names, but here we go. Archer Spielka. He beat.
Yeah, Arturo. Arturo Spielkov.
Okay, I got the Spielka. Right, okay.
Same.
Yeah.
Potato.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
In Hamtramck, they're going to debate. But anyways... Wilder goes and takes care of business. A vicious knockout in the ninth round.
Yeah.
We posted it. If you haven't seen it, go see it. We're very happy that Spielka is okay.
Yep.
But at the same time, Deontay Wilder with that one-punch knockout skill is absolutely amazing. So I just had to go on a rant. I told you guys I got to go on a rant.
Yeah, go ahead.
Mixed crowd wasn't there. Mixed crowd, though, listening to it on Showtime. It seems like half the world is Deontay Wilder pro. Half of it is not. But I did get a chance to go on a mini boards after that and listen to what people had to say about Deontay Wilder. A lot of negativity towards him, which I find is surprising.
Why?
Exactly.
Why?
He got into the sport for the right reason. We don't have to recall the story about his daughter and why he got into boxing to raise money to help her. And already a pretty good guy. Deontay Wilder, we actually have met. The show has met Deontay Wilder.
Yes.
Nice guy when I met him in person. Said all the right things after the end of the fight, but still at 36-0, 35 KOs, which we're America, we like records. You can't get a more perfect record than
that. No, and with 35 knockouts, it's not like he's Mayweather dancing around the ring.
And everybody's tearing him down going, but when he faces this guy, he will be exposed. There's no question there's some holes in the guy's game. But there was holes in everybody's game.
Yes.
Even Mike Tyson at his prime, you could say there might have been some holes. And I'll tell you really quickly, Tyson's known for his punching power.
Yeah.
It was multiple punching combinations. And you typically saw the guy days sitting up, whether it be Holmes or whatever. Wilder.
Yeah.
That guy was not waking up anytime soon. Nope. I like to call him professional anesthesiologist. Professional anesthesiologist Deontay Wilder went to work and took care of business with one punch. The guy ran into the punch, misses with his punch, runs right into it. Why is America not embracing this guy? He's an American heavyweight. He's freaking huge, 6'7". His reach advantage is about 7 inches on everyone he fights. It looks like he's going to get a fight up against Povetkin. Povetkin, a Russian. This is typical, right? Back in Rocky IV, right?
Yeah.
What was happening? Russia, America didn't get along. Saying it's fictional, but let's go here. Russia, America, not getting along. Povetkin, Russian. Versus Deontay Wilder, U.S. It looks like his next fight. How exciting is this?
That's very exciting. I mean,
no one's getting behind him. He should be on Wheaties.
He should be. He should have. Oh, I think he's dead. I was gonna say he should have James Brown sing him out to the ring.
That would take a miracle.
Apollo died, dude. You should not do that.
That's true too.
Yeah, he sees James Gray. He's not fighting. Yeah, he's gonna be like, or not James Gray. James Brown. James Brown, he's not coming out of the ring. But
throw the damn towel.
I go into the rooms and everyone's like, well, he doesn't have this. He doesn't have that. But for everything you do say that he doesn't have, you can find a point. Hasn't fought anybody of, significance, whatever. He did beat Stiverne. And even though it might not have been a Stavern that was ready to fight, he also fought Spielka, who was a good challenger for her because I had him even. I had it four rounds before Wilder gets the knockout. So you say that. The guy has four different jabs. When you stand 6'7", you find different ways to jab. Not only does he have the straightforward jab, like hitting like a hammer and coming through, he has something called like, I don't want to misquote it, but like a paintbrush one where he comes down on you. He has one where he comes up on you. Yeah, he has because you're 6'7", you invent punches. He has four different jabs.
He trained with Miyagi. He's painting the fence.
Something
up and
like
down.
That.
Yeah,
dude, I forget absolutely. What he calls it, too, and I wish I would have wrote it down. But he has four different jobs. He did an amazing job of keeping Spielka off of him. And when Spielka would come forward, although sometimes it looked like Wilder might be in a little bit of trouble, Wilder was able to establish the jab later on in the fight. The only thing I would say is that I wish he would throw the jab more. And then here's the thing we do know about Wilder. He can knock out late. He did it late rounds a previous fight. He did it here in the late rounds in the ninth round. And totally, Spielka's not looking to fight Wilder anytime soon after that. And great win for him. I just wish everybody's like, hey, can we have a heavyweight, an American heavyweight we can get back? I can't give you more perfection at 36-0 than Deontay Wilder. 35 KOs. Get behind this kid. Rochelle's met him, dude. He's a nice guy. When we introduced him to people, he's a nice guy. I just don't understand why people aren't getting behind him. And we'd love to see everybody be pro Deontay Wilder and get this show rolling. And as we do see in the heavyweight division, everybody's holding a little bit of piece of the belt. But this is what I got to talk to before we talk to Ed Williams here. Really quickly. So Showtime... And don't tell me Showtime didn't do this. Allowed Tyson Fury into the ring after Deontay Wilder wins. And then it becomes WWE. This is Stone Cold Austin versus The Rock.
Yeah.
So immediately Tyson Fury goes up to him and does the old soccer chant that they've done in boxing. You know, there's only one Tyson Fury. And then Deontay Wilder goes, hey, you're just an act. You're just this. Here you got the two biggest heavyweights. Maybe converging. Showtime's kind of arranging it. But then the whole time I'm watching this, I'm like, Tyson Fury, you've got another fight against Klitschko. What the hell are you doing overlooking an opponent? He's basically calling out Deontay Wilder, and I'm like, you got to fight against Klitschko. What the hell are you worried about? Worry about the guy in front of you, beat him again, and then maybe the Deontay Wilder thing will be up there. But Tyson Fury undoes his... does his suit and throws it down, and it looked like a kid tied his tie. I actually wore a tie the other day like this, and it barely went up to his like midsection. But it was just totally staged, totally staged. Yeah, and Deontay Wilder, I mean, they're literally almost kissing face to face, and they're arguing at each other about like, oh, this and this and this fight. Want it, dude. It's good for boxing. It's good for us. Wilder versus Fury. Hopefully it happens. Fury's got to take care of business with Klitschko. Looks like Wilder will get Povetkin. And then we go from there. But congratulations, Deontay Wilder. Just get behind him. That's my only rant. He's everything you ever wanted in a boxing star. And then people in the group are like, well, he's not this. He's not this. He didn't fight anyone until he was 25-0. All this stuff. Get behind Deontay Wilder. This is exactly what you wanted. This record is sick. 36-0, 35 knockouts. Yeah, knockout power is unbelievable.
Yeah.
Get behind the guy. That's all I got to say. I'm not going to say who he can beat and who he can't beat. Slam it, dude. I'm not going to say who he can beat or who he can't beat, but until then, cheers to you, Deontay Wilder. You're taking care of business, and that's all that matters at the end of the day. Showtime was free this weekend. I didn't know it until I was watching it at his friend's house. Everyone could have watched that fight. People are like, can I watch the Wilder fight? I'm like, if you have Showtime.
I was at my cousin's 40th, and I'm like, I'm like, do you guys get Showtime? And they're like, no. And I'm like, dang it. So yeah, I could have watched it.
Oh, well. You could have.
I was so lit, I probably wouldn't have been able to.
You would have been standing better than Spielka, though.
Probably.
But it looks like Spielka will be okay, and that's all that matters. Everybody fights for enjoyment, and that was a vicious knockout. He went down incredibly hard. And so naturally, our thoughts and prayers go out to him, and we hope there's no permanent damage. And actually, what Deontay Wilder said after the fight was actually brilliant about he wants to hurt somebody, but he doesn't want to hurt them so bad that it hurts their family or hurts his career down the road. And that is a tough – because Deontay Wilder's showing this unbelievable power. That is a tough thing to grasp that you could hurt anybody at any moment, but yet you don't want to hurt them that it ruins their career or hurts their family and stuff like that. So that's stuff, some of the stuff we've learned. But we also have Ed Williams who's fighting. He's fighting February 6th. We're going to have Rochelle dial him up here in a second. And we're going to get to know a little bit more about him and what he's looking to do in – oh, she's on top of her game. Mad at everybody, but on top of her game. We might get voicemail. We may get it.
Or it's just going to keep ringing forever.
Mr. Williams?
At the tone, please record.
Oh, I was going to leave a message.
Why didn't you let us leave a message?
I could have left a message.
Because why? Why do you have to ruin everything, Rochelle? You're a ruiner.
What was that?
I don't know, but it made it all better.
It's a notification on Windows 10 that's on the laptop.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That show's called IT and the D, and it's on Monday nights. But anyways, we'll look for Ed Williams here in a few seconds. But we do got to move on to our next guest. Let's just keep the show rocking and rolling. Really quickly, do you want to grab him, Rochelle? To the galaxy, he's known as Boba Fett.
What?
Boba Fett.
He's here?
Boba Fett. Thank God. I was actually excited he wasn't in the seventh movie, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What's going on, man?
Whoa. Hey.
Awesome. Absolutely cool. Awesome. So what happened was, this is our ring girl, Sarah, right?
So what happened was...
Sarah supposedly had a Han Solo dress, and then the whole stick was supposed to be...
Stick? You mean?
He was supposed to come in.
Okay.
And I was supposed to tell Sarah that, oh, I'm so sorry he arrived before you. There was nothing I could do. But then she didn't have the Han Solo
sleazy
dress.
Sleazy Lando.
Exactly. Sleazy Lando. See, yeah. I'm growing the mustache. And
you've been growing that for, what, 2 years?
No. It's like probably 10 days.
You might want to hit the tanning booth, too.
And basically I was like, hey, you know, there's nothing we could do. He got here before you. So, but that didn't work out. But really quickly, I met this guy at the theater after he did the marathon. You remember you could buy a marathon ticket.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh,
watch all yep. the yep. films.
Wow.
So introduce in yourself costume? To the world. Say your name and who
his
you
name
are.
Is Boba Fett.
Boba Fett, yeah. My name's Ken Willard. I live in St. Clair Shores. I just kind of got into this watching the first three movies and then the 1, 2, and 3 actually came out each on my birthday.
Oh,
really upped the whole ante for me, you know.
Okay.
And
Jimmy, what's that make his birthday?
I don't remember when they came out. Do you?
No.
Yeah.
I was putting you on the spot. When's your birthday?
May 19th.
I knew that. Okay. I totally knew that.
Yep. You know what? I think maybe because I tried to forget that the 1, 2, and 3 actually existed. I don't know.
Whatever.
Anyways, continue.
And my neighbor, he had actually built this costume. And another friend of mine is another Star Wars geek, and he's got his own big theater. So when the whole 9-disc Blu-ray set came out, I borrowed this from my neighbor.
Okay.
And I went to his theater, and I was standing there with the gun pointed at the door when everybody opened the door. They're like, whoa. So, you know, Force Awakens comes out, and, you know, I said, hey, can I borrow your suit again? He's like, okay, you know what? You wear the suit more than me. And I'm really glad that, you know, there's somebody here that appreciates it like I do, like, because I built it. And he said, tell you what, you can either buy it or it'll just stay here.
Okay.
So, of course, I had to buy it.
Right, of course. Yeah. Did he at least give you a good deal?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, awesome.
I got about a quarter of the price.
No, oh, wow. Excellent. So, all right.
Yeah. All right, so there's some geeks on this side of the table. We got Jimmy over here. We got Sarah. Obviously, Marv was influenced by Star Wars. I was influenced by Star Wars. But the marathon, as appealing as it is, most of us have real jobs and shit like that. You did the marathon. Tell us when it started, when it ended. Tell us all about that.
The tickets went on sale in October, and I got them the night they went on sale. I was in line when the doors opened to get the tickets.
In costume or not in costume?
Not in costume.
Okay.
It was a, you know, kind of a last-minute thing. It's like, whoa, we didn't know it only showed in 5 theaters in the state, so we had to go drive 35 minutes to Southgate, which is the closest theater.
Mm-hmm.
So it opened up at 4 a.m. The movie started at 4 a.m. Doors opened at like 3. Mm-hmm. I got there at 1 in suit and costume. Of course, awesome. You know, the guy next in line, he got out with his lightsaber. He's like,
right.
Oh, you win.
Technically, according to episode 6, you do not win.
Spoiler alert!
Right.
You know, episode 6. That's not spoiler. Oh,
dude, yeah. come on, Jimmy.
So everybody's saying, you know, it figures that a guy like you with a suit like that is in the front of the line, you know, very first. So started at 4 a.m., ended at 9:30 p.m.
Wow.
And you got...
No, that would be awesome.
Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
It was...
I would have loved it.
It was incredible.
I assume that there was, like, an intermission between movies for, like, what, 15 minutes, 20
minutes?
It was
20 minutes between each of the first 6 movies.
Okay.
And then between 6 and 7, there was 45 minutes.
Okay. Now,
so
food?
Yeah, we could go to the concession stand and then... They said, you know what, wherever you want to go, just bring it in. We don't care if you bring it in Taco Bell or whatever. Right. So,
really? Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. Oh, good. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So,
because,
yeah, there's a Taco Bell right there.
There is.
Yeah, yeah, right. Like, basically in the parking lot. Did anybody have pizza delivered? I would have totally had pizza delivered.
I heard some people did. I didn't see it.
I'd have been like,
but,
Theater 6.
Yeah, exactly.
Fourth row, 8th seat.
Epic Theater.
Did you see anyone sleep in between episodes 1 and 3? Because George Lucas slept through most of those.
Yeah. Wow!
Yeah, there were some people sleeping.
Yeah, there were
some people in line behind me. Yeah, we kind of sat in a little group. Some of us.
You got to tell us the endurance that happened. So, like, what did you do the day before? You obviously changed your meals. When did you go to bed the night before?
How do you train for that? Did you have to cut weight or anything?
Well, no, I work mornings. So I got home at 1:30. I start at 5. And I think I went to bed at, like, 2:30 and just took a nap.
Yeah, and damn if they were going to schedule you on when The Force Awakens opened.
Right.
Well, it's not going to happen.
I took the 2 days off. And, you know,
that's right,
just to make sure I got to
Did you have to tell
Friday.
Them why? Like, boss, I need the days off. How come?
It's a personal day. You know?
It's a personal day. I got a thing.
It's a very, very personal, it's a very commitment I must go to.
I cannot skip. I cannot miss this.
This virus is terrible that's going around. It's really...
So we made dinner at, I don't know, ate dinner at like 11 p.m.
Wow.
And then just headed out right from
there. Now, my concern would be, because I was so excited to see The Force Awakens, is that I wouldn't be as awake or as ready for it after seeing the 6 films and going that long, your past 12 hours. Then was it you were still that exciting? So you were good.
Yeah.
The
geek just totally carried all the way through. I mean, there was a few minutes here and there during 1 and 2, the first 2 movies, when I kind of nodded off just a little bit.
A little bit, right.
I don't think I missed more than 5 minutes of the movie at a time, and then
you knew what happened anyway.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
You've seen them 900 times, just like all of us.
Oh, yeah. So. I didn't. I mean, I could quote the all 6
yeah,
movies.
Exactly.
You know, I didn't need to watch every minute. But
I think you could have slept through most of Phantom Menace and been fine.
Yeah.
Now, did they show it
on Phantom Menace?
Did they show it in theatrical release or in order?
In order.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Right.
Okay.
Here, that would make sense for the...
I understand that, but this
is what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this question and make it better. Ready for this?
Uh-huh.
Was it the original versions, or was it George Lucas's shit versions after where he's like, oh, bigger explosions, and by the way, Jabba the Hutt is in the first one?
Mm-hmm.
What happened?
And,
or the fourth.
And,
episode 4.
And
which versions did you see?
We saw
and
the
Greedo
extended.
Shot first.
The, you saw
the extended... Well...
Yeah, who shot first? Good question. He made my question better.
Yeah.
See how we do this?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Who shot first, Greedo or Han, in the versions you saw?
Han shot first.
All right.
Okay.
That's good.
All right.
But
all right.
1, 2, and 3. But there was the little added animal creature in the back in the desert. you know, that the Stormtrooper was riding.
Oh, yeah.
So we saw the one with the added features.
Oh, you know? So, okay, so it wasn't...
Bigger explosions, and you saw Jabba the Hutt talk to Han Solo
right.
then.
Right.
So it wasn't, like...
So Greedo shot first.
And he,
so Greedo would have shot first in that one, right?
Yeah.
In that version.
It's pretty close, but yeah, Greedo does the...
Were you, he was answering who really shot first, and we all know Han shot first. But in the version, you saw Greedo shot first, which is horseshit.
Right. Because Han shot first.
Thank you very much.
Just flat out murder.
Yeah.
I actually don't remember seeing a version where Greedo shot first.
So real.
That's the re-release.
Yeah,
there's the two shots.
Oh,
in the original, there's just one shot, and you never see the bolt.
Yeah, okay. So it's pew pew.
So you have a young lady with you. Is this?
This is my wife, Amy.
Okay, Amy, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Do you ever make them dress as?
I was just going to ask that.
Absolutely.
Do you really?
No way. Yeah. No, I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Wait, does she dress up as Leia at all?
We won't admit to any.
Oh, whomever.
Nice.
Are you ever intimidated by the jetpack? the giant rocket under that.
You know what they say? The bigger the jetpack, not as much down there.
No, that's not what I heard. It's the bigger. You know what they say about guys with big helmets?
They have big heads.
Big heads. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow, she just comes right out.
Yeah, she did. Like he's nice. Embarrassed, and she's just like,
Did you do the marathon with him?
I did.
Okay.
It was about 17 hours straight through, it was pretty fun.
Yeah.
She had a medalla.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Like which
Amidala
one?
Amidala or actual, like, Padme?
It was Amidala, the Amidala. White...
Well, like with the huge hair?
Dress.
Did you have the huge hair?
It was the white.
I wanted to. I know.
It was the white dress at the end of 2.
Okay.
Stands next to Anakin.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is how geeks we are. He's just like, it's the white one again. The 2. I'm like, classy. Yeah. No, that was a classy choice.
But by the time we had seen her after Force Awakens, was it after we've seen you?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You looked a little tired.
Yeah.
You didn't look like Amidala by then.
I slept really well that night.
I actually went back, got back in the suit after the movie ended. So like 9:45.
Yeah. Okay.
And I came back in the theater and stayed until about 10:30.
Taking pictures with people.
Yeah, and there are probably about 80 people or so that...
Oh, me and my son were one of them. I mean, you add to the experience, the people that dress up and stuff like that.
Was there anybody else dressed up, like, to your degree?
No. There was a guy in a Han Solo outfit, which was amazing.
No, really? Okay.
With the blue pants with the red stripes and the black jacket and everything.
Oh, Empire Strikes Back, Han Solo.
And he said, you know what? We got to do this. And he just came and put his arm around me and... People were coming out of line to see the movie to take pictures of us. There's probably 5 or 6 people came up and took pictures of the two of us. Of, you know, it's like.
So let's give our audience a little price point. What'd that cost you, the marathon?
The marathon was $50.
Okay, so
that's not bad. I've spent more on booze.
So typically, he should have gave episodes 1 through 3 as free, and then 4 through 6, you paid $40, and then another 10 for the freaking. I understand.
And Force Awakens was actually in 3D.
Oh wow!
Oh, I saw it in 3D too.
Now, did you like it in 3D? And have you seen it both?
Yes, I've seen it both.
Did you like it better, one or the other?
I liked it. Better non-3D, but it was one of the better 3D movies I've ever seen.
See, I've talked to several people who saw both ways, and only like one of them liked it in 3D better than, like, you know, standard.
It wasn't like a 3D movie where like stuff is like constantly like jumping
and,
out.
And that
you.
Was the thing. They were like, you know, it's not shot in 3D, whatever. It was just sort of like, you know, they made it 3D, and that was the complaint.
Yeah, there's like some stuff that like it looks more like it's coming at you, but it wasn't filmed, so like things are constantly coming at you.
Yeah,
so you forget it was in 3D.
The most common one, like most of them that I talked to, they were like, it was a little more distracting than anything. And that's why they like the standard version better.
I mean, they wouldn't call it distracting, but... I didn't think it was bad. Like, it was really high quality.
Yeah.
Like,
okay. I haven't seen it in 3D. But. I only saw it standard, so I don't.
I don't think it matters either way.
Yeah.
There's one shot in the 3D where the Star Destroyer comes up on screen. And you're like, whoa! Poke you right in the eye.
That was basically it, though. It was basically all just the ships.
Yeah.
The ships were nice.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So where do you rank it? You're obviously a very bona fide Star Wars fan. Where do you rank it? Like, so to me, it's Empire Strikes Back, Force Awakens, and then okay. go down further. So Empire Strikes Back is the one. Where do you rank it in all the films? If you put Phantom Menace out, we'll throw you out that window.
We will not. We will not. We will not. If you say Clone Wars, yes, then Attack of the Clones, then yes, you'll go.
If it wasn't for the bad CGI, I would have liked Clone Wars.
No, if you say Clone Wars, I will defenestrate you.
Okay. I like all the bounty hunters, though.
What's that?
I like all the bounty hunters, though.
She likes the love. She likes the love story.
No, I don't like. Okay, Anakin came off really creepy the entire time.
Exactly.
I like baby. The whiny. All Skywalkers are annoying.
They are whiny. I will give you that. Skywalkers are whiny.
Leia. Kylo Ren.
Oddly enough, Leia is probably the least whiny of them all.
Mm-hmm. Anakin, Luke. Yeah. I cannot stand Luke. I can't stand him.
Anakin was worse. Really? Luke was absolutely a whiner, but Anakin was worse.
Luke was a whiner up until...
Anakin was more like angsty teenager. And then like maybe. Kylo Ren is like worse.
See, Kylo Ren is what Anakin probably would have become if he hadn't been a Jedi and they try to temper it down a little bit, which is the very emo kind of, oh, woe is me. I'm going to throw a temper tantrum because I'm not getting my way kind of thing like
Kylo,
that.
They definitely captured
Maybe, which is probably why he idolized Anakin so much.
They captured the millennial attitude.
Yes, he did.
With Kylo Ren. Yes. They absolutely captured, like, I can't have what I want. I'm going to throw things and break things.
But
everybody gets a trophy.
Did you see the SNL?
I did. Oh God!
Did you see Kylo Ren undercover boss?
Yes.
That is one of the best things I've seen in a long time. Yes.
I'm Matt.
I knew as soon as you said, "Hi, I'm Matt."
One of my favorites definitely was he's like when they talk about his lightsaber and he's like, "Let me go see if I can find Kylo Ren's lightsaber," and he comes like right back in and he's like, "Look, it's awesome."
Hey, I ran into Kylo Ren in the restroom. He said to give you this card. Yeah. Sorry, I killed your son, Kylo. Unhappy face.
Yes, Dave.
Hi, Dave. This is Dave. Check out this Boba Fett. This is the real deal here.
Boba Fett. Yep. Boba Fett. Where?
We're geeking out. Sit with us, Dave, and geek out.
Because
we're talking Star Wars.
Oh, that's good.
So I have a theory that Disney sat in a boardroom just like we are now, and somebody went crazy and said, we're going to kill off Harrison Ford. And you know what? It's been enough, so we're going to spoil.
No, I do.
Have I told you my theory on this?
No, but let me tell you mine and you tell me how close I am.
Okay.
They kind of looked around and said, you know, not every one of them is going to be here. And, you know, this guy's flying planes in the golf courses and shit like that. Let's start killing them off. I believe that happened. And
he didn't want to be in Jedi.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're like, let's just...
No, it had to happen.
Didn't they want him to die? Harrison Ford wanted to die after Empire.
He wanted to die after Empire. Yeah. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Which breaks my heart because Harrison Ford's...
Harrison Ford. It had to happen. And I think he was looking at it from a story angle, too.
But so here's my theory.
Okay.
Leia, Force-sensitive... Sees the future.
Yes.
Knows what's going on.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Plays the whole, if you see our son, don't come home without bringing him home with you. Then you flash forward. There's Han up on the bridge.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's looking at Kylo down on that other bridge. And he's like, and you can see the look on his face like, God damn it. If I don't at least try, she's going to bitch.
I'll never hear the end of it. Exactly. I'll have to go in hiding again.
So like the whole thing is Leia's fault.
Are you insinuating that this was like a burning bed scenario?
Absolutely.
Where she was like pissed at him?
Yeah.
She's like,
and she set him up to get
wrecked
by Kylo
Ren.
She's
like, make sure you... Yeah, no, that's a good theory. That's an excellent theory.
Actually, that would be the best nerd moment my son could ever do is like, you know, he's 10 now and he enjoyed the film and stuff, but if he came to me at 21 and I'd be like, well, what happened with you and Kelly or whatever you would be dating, and he'd be like, you know, you remember that scene where you don't listen to women and stuff like that with Kylo Ren? Exactly, dude. You don't listen to women, Dad. And I'd be like, the Force is strong with this one. We're good. Yeah. If you pick that up, that's all you need to know from the movies. Don't
Life lessons
to them.
From Star Wars.
Exactly. People were sad. in this room when he died.
I overheard the earlier comment. I'm in the same boat. I will never see another movie in IMAX 3D ever.
No.
Yeah.
Because the ships look like toys. In every space sequence, and it ripped me right out of the movie.
Okay.
Ooh. I saw it again with the kids in like normal.
Yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Absolutely. So, IMAX 3D, dead to me.
Wow. Yeah. The only movie I've ever seen in IMAX.
Have you not met me? I have two modes. We're cool, you're dead to me.
The only movie I have ever seen in 3D, not just IMAX 3D, but any kind of 3D, where the 3D actually enhanced the movie was Avatar. That was the only one for me. Every other one started pretty low
with Avatar anyway, so you could really only go up.
But the reason I missed Avatar, I
know I'm a little late. Did we already miss all the, because we've all seen Star Wars, so we all saw the trailer. Have we already had the making fun of Jimmy with the Warcraft movie trailer comments
yet? No.
Go ahead. Because
Jimmy has like three starring roles in the trailer.
Well played, sir. Well played.
True story.
I just wanted to make sure I was kept.
Now you're caught up. No, the only reason I liked it in 3D because they didn't try to make it like, oh, it's 3D. It's just like, we're going to add depth to what you're seeing. And that's the only reason that I liked it.
Yeah. Oh, with Avatar? Yeah. Like I said, with Star Wars, Star Wars, it did. It totally ripped me right out of the movie.
There was nothing to look at in 3D except for the ships. That was like the only time.
And then they looked like little 3-inch die-cast toys.
Yeah. It wasn't worth the money.
We passed along a joke on this side. We saw something on the internet that made me laugh, but I would crack up if there is the extended cut where Luke asks Rey, he'd be like, did you find the hand? There was supposed to be a hand with that.
That
would be awesome. Saber, yeah. Well, like, since you got that, you found the hand, right?
And we all know, because if Finn actually hooks up with Rey, he'll be the first stormtrooper in history to hit something.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Well played. Yes.
Well, besides his head walking around.
There were some really cool things. My favorite thing, like little thing, like detail, was how the TIE fighters were in the starship. Did you see how they came
out?
That was cool.
Yeah.
Whoever came up with that visually, that was neat.
My favorite visual thing was stopping the freaking laser blast.
That was cool.
And it just kind of hung there. So we're talking about plot points. Okay, so this is something that I kind of have an issue with. So we see Kylo Ren right off the bat. He is a freaking badass. Stopping a blaster bolt in midair.
But can't beat Rey.
But can't be Finn or Rey.
Okay, so let's take two giant Mother May I steps back here.
All right.
So let's go to Chewie and the bowcaster.
Yeah, and he hit him.
Who's hit him. Hitting people and flinging them 30 feet across rooms.
Yeah. No, we know.
So Kylo takes one of those blasts, does not fling across the room. And yet gets up and fights both Finn and Rey. Yeah. And oh, by the way, while he's in the middle of the fights, punches himself in the wound to get the adrenaline flowing and keep that.
But
I'm not buying that one.
Okay, I'm sorry. Even with him wounded, there's no reason he should have that much trouble with especially Finn. Now, Rey, I can understand because she's force sensitive. She kind of gets it after she's been fighting him for a while. But Finn is a freaking stormtrooper who, he had a little bit of combat training, but should not be able to go.
A little bit. Only since birth when he's been
abducted. But it doesn't matter. He should not be able to go toe to toe.
And it's basically a sword. So why wouldn't he be able to fight with a sword?
I still don't buy it. Why? I don't buy that he could go toe to toe with Kylo Ren. I just don't. I don't buy it.
Yeah, but you're also not putting into perspective that Kylo Ren is completely emotionally unstable.
Well, that's the other thing too. I took that into consideration, but still.
And if there's one thing Sarah knows, it's emotionally unstable.
You know what? It's true.
Here, I'm going to damper everyone's mood right here really quick. So if he has the helmet of Darth Vader, we have to assume all the Ewoks were wiped out by him when he went down there.
Aww.
No more Ewoks.
Yeah. Well, you've heard that big theory, right?
Yeah,
no.
I heard that.
The Knights of Ren wiped them all out.
No. The Ewoks at the end of Jedi, there's a big party and life's good. They're not happy the Empire's dead. because what do Ewoks who live in a forest care about a space station and the Empire? They don't care.
Right.
No, they're having a party because they have meat. Stormtroopers.
Let's reflect.
They were carrying Han and Luke on spits and were bringing them to a fire to cook them.
Right.
Ewoks were evil little, like, Care Bear gone wrong meth bastards.
That's true. You are correct on that.
Well, that's the other thing, too. We're talking the extended versions and stuff. George Lucas changed the fucking Ewok song in when he re-released them because we watched it the other day. It's not that stupid num-num song or yum-yum, whatever.
But if you want to go there, then you have to go back, and this is why – like the hardcore fans are.
Let's do it.
Because they weren't supposed to be Ewoks.
They were supposed to be Wookiees.
Jedi was supposed to be set on Kashyyyk.
Yeah.
Chewbacca's planet. They were all supposed to be Wookiees.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be a big old badass movie.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then Hasbro came along and said, oh,
we can sell Wicket.
Giant bag of money.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, they're teddy bears. Oh, cool.
Teddy bears with spears.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know that.
Oh, and Han sells really well, so you can't kill him.
Right.
Right, yeah.
Give him a new pair of pants. And
Fine.
Because, you know, you need to have the updated toy.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Well, there you go. And then the whole C-3PO
and the Sebastian
thing.
Shaw ghost gone.
Place with Hayden Christensen.
The C-3PO thing with the red arm.
Grumble.
Dude, I love – there's a I just ordered it.
The shirt.
The phenomenal shirt. It's like a long sleeve tee, and it's got one red arm.
Okay.
But it says, you probably can't recognize me because I have a red arm.
That's a good one. I like that one. Where'd you find that?
Geeky tease.
Oh, okay.
I respect J.J. Abrams, but when you're doing script reading and you hear that line, you got to be like, I don't know if that fits. Like, I know he's that bad of a droid,
my whole thing with it, it took me a couple watchings to like figure out how I felt about it. And the first half hour of the movie is still, hey, you've seen this before,
right?
You'll like this,
right?
Hey, you've seen this before,
right? You'll like this.
Hey, you've seen. Then the next half hour is, hey, look how funny our writers are with their quippy one-liners. Then it gets a little deep,
right?
And like goes off and with the whole Starkiller base and all, and that's good. To me, it's truly the A New Hope.
It absolutely is.
A bigger,
but it set, dude. But it sets the bar so high, for that next movie,
Which, dude, if they follow, should be a much darker movie when Episode Eight comes out.
And it's going to be after, because Rogue Squadron comes out first.
Yeah. Rogue One.
And then Episode 8 comes out. Episode 8 better kill.
Yeah.
Or there's going to be some riots.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah, your Alderaan lives matter.
Yeah. I've been looking for love in Alderaan places.
So
that's right.
You were dressed as Boba Fett for Force Awakens. What would you give me percentage-wise that you thought Boba Fett would have made an appearance somewhere in that film? I mean, you hadn't seen it before. You didn't read any spoilers. What did you think we'd see?
He's getting his own movie.
I didn't think he'd be in it. I figured it would be all done with in the Sarlacc pit.
No. Jimmy has a whole little
don't get me started.
But it's not canon because they
I totally understand.
Yeah.
That's just how I read the movie, you know, and I figured Boba Fett's over with.
Dude, your character's taking a lot of heat right now. People are like, you know, for as much publicity as he get, he was terrible at doing what he did. I mean, well, how do you feel about that? Is that attacking you personally?
No. I haven't heard any of that.
Oh, really? Dude, I'll recant some of them. All right, so...
you haven't heard how they make fun of your favorite character?
No, piss you off really fast. I love Boba Fett. I absolutely do. It's really cool. But, like, everybody's like, he was terrible in Return of the Jedi. Like, he couldn't do anything when, like, they have this whole attack plan and he can't do anything about it. Like, they're like, oh, boy, there, you know. And the other thing is,
he's only up against a seasoned Jedi.
Luke coming into his prime.
Yeah.
No. Who sends him the flying, though? Is it Luke, right? Yeah. Off there. Yeah.
And
Han. Han turns around and hits his jetpack.
He dies from slapstick, all right?
Yeah.
Boba Fett dies from slapstick.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is exactly what happened.
Boba Fett! Boba Fett! Where? And he turns around, hits the jetpack, and
lands into the sandbar. See, and then falls.
There could have been a Benny Hill theme to that. Yeah, there could have been.
Oh, absolutely. Just Boba Fett running around the rim of the Sarlacc, just trying not to fall in.
Now, I personally think that Boba Fett was done perfect, and I got mad in when he did the prequels that he had to add to the story, because then it kind of takes away from Boba Fett, because I think little Boba Fett and I think Jango Fett, and I wasn't a fan of Jango Fett as much as I am Boba Fett and that whole little clone stuff.
Well,
but what I'm saying is that he had something very money there, like a cult hero, and then when he went and readdressed it with Jango Fett and tried to make money off Boba Fett, it kind of took away a little bit from
you know
Boba
what
Fett's
it's
story.
Interesting, because we're talking about canon. And according to Pocket Disney, who owns it, the Clone Wars. Why are you growling?
They eliminated all the books.
No, I know, but the Clone Wars, like cartoon, okay, so
Barnes and Noble's like 50 cents, books.
Dude,
I love them.
I'm in the author's notes on three of those books that are out there, and now they don't count anymore.
Really? Which
yeah,
ones?
No, really.
What's these royalties?
Which all the ones by Michael
now.
P. Q. McDowell.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Wow. Anyway,
my stupid Star Wars website, Echo Station, is in one of the books. And,
okay.
And then our author, yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, what I was saying is.
I don't even
is,
know you, Dave.
So,
again, there are many layers of my geekness. It's like an onion. One will eventually make you cry.
the Clone Wars cartoon, though, what they're doing.
Okay, but that's canon.
That is
the
no,
stupid
because Disney
cartoon is canon.
But what they're doing with Boba Fett in the Clone Wars and now in Rebels, because they're making appearances with Boba Fett, they're actually giving you that story of how he went from the non-accelerated clone to the bounty hunter that we all know and love in the original trilogy, and how he gets in with the bounty hunters, and how he gets in with, and how he starts to become this guy. So it's an interesting kind of thing to watch. I'm very curious on where they're going to take it before you get to the...
Let's be honest. Don't we all just want more IG-88?
We do. Absolutely. And you know what? Here's the thing. They haven't announced it, and I know they're doing a standalone movie with young Boba Fett, but I would actually be very curious to see if they throw any of those bounty hunters in Rogue One.
Is it going
to
be – is the young Boba Fett going to be like a John Hughes flick? Like he's
– Yeah. It's like
– I wear the required uniform.
Right. Exactly. With Rogue One, because it's about the plans to steal the Death Star right before Episode 4, I could see the Empire pulling out the bounty hunters to try to track these people down. You know what I'm saying? IG-88, Boba Fett, Bosk, all of them to like try to track them down to get the plans back, and they fail. So Vader goes after them because there's a rumor that we're going to see Vader in Rogue One.
Yeah. With James Earl Jones.
Which our guests would be very happy with. That's more money for bar mitzvahs. That's more money for birthdays. I mean, you're set.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Really. You sell it to the younger generation.
Dude, Boba Fett is the – as Boba Fett is to Star Wars, Daryl is to The Walking Dead.
Absolutely. It's true, though. He's the backwater hick that gets shit done.
You missed earlier, David, the first question. I just went right after it. I was like, has he wore that in the bedroom? We asked his lovely lady, and she said?
Yeah.
But did you say Boba Fett? Boba Fett!
What does she have to do to earn the costume?
Not a whole lot.
Yeah, like any woman, she'd have to say, put the costume on and come in the bed.
Okay.
Put the costume on, dive in my Sarlacc. That's all she has to say.
Oh, my God.
Yes, Mark.
Well, that escalated quickly. Yeah.
So I'm just guessing you have experience with Sarlacc pits.
One or two, yeah. Yeah, they will bite you.
Yeah, Yeah, well, we got to wrap it up really quick. That is, seriously, though, David, one of the best Boba Fett costumes.
It's outstanding.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And, it
is. Actually, so I actually meant to ask and never did. Like, what's the material? Is it like, it looks metal, but is it?
No, it's plastic.
It is. They did a good job making it look metal. Like, yeah, that's pretty good. All right, cool. Yeah.
I mean, it's really nice. And then you also have a voice with it, though, too. It has a your voice was disguised when I met you.
It was just a speaker.
Do you have it on right now?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
Because I'd have to put it down here in the pocket. And
you don't know what she's thinking on the way home, and you don't want that down there.
I don't know. You know, it's a mic that I'd have to wear, and I didn't want any feedback or, you
gotcha.
Know.
Gotcha.
And I didn't think I'd be wearing the helmet anyway, because then...
Exactly. Right. So, well, no, we're going to make you wear it over there, though, for photos. And then we'll do some without your helmet.
Well, she makes them wear it enough nights. So.
Sometimes just the helmet.
I'm not gonna lie. That was like one of my favorite Big Bang Theory episodes. Was like the whole like Leonard meets the hot nerd girl,
right?
Yeah, and she's a comic book artist.
Yeah, yeah.
And like he's looking through the comic that she drew, and he's like, "Oh, and that's you having sex with a guy in a Wookiee costume. Were you at Comic Con?" And she was like, "Well, you'd think so, but no."
Yeah. Do you have a fan page or anywhere people can follow you, or if do you actually take paid events, or what are you looking to do with the costume? Just cosplay and costume contests and conventions?
Yeah, I was hoping to get into that. I'm just, you know, I've not had any free time in the last, I don't know, 15 years, because I've been working and
you've been saving all those 2 days for Force Awakens. I like it.
So I'm just, you know, just getting to the point where I can explore this a little bit more. I put a post on Craigslist, you know, saying I can appear in your events and whatever, and we'll see where that
careful
goes.
With that, dude.
I know. I already played that up with my wife once, and you know that was just a joke. But anyway,
you're gonna open the door. There's gonna be this sitting in the room.
I run events for nerds. We can make that happen.
Yeah. It's gonna be four dudes looking like us. Yeah. But come on in.
No, we get more than four.
The event he was talking about wasn't for a nerd party, though. So we'll just leave it at that.
Oh wow! No, nice.
I'm gonna.
Dirty bounty hunters.
Bounty hunters gone wild.
It was Boba Sweat.
Yeah. Boba Sweat. Best line of the night, right there.
Boba Sweat.
I totally want to start a strip club called Boba Sweat now.
Sweat. Nice.
All right, we gotta wrap this up.
Well, no. So
Mandalorian Mandingo.
How can someone get a hold of you if they want to book you for an event?
You can look me up on Facebook.
Boba Sweat.
No, that's not it. Ken Willard.
Go to GoDaddy. I'm gonna register that right now.
My email's missionv19@gmail.com. You can get me there. But I'm going to add some more original things to the costume which aren't on it right now.
Okay.
And try to get it to be exact.
All right.
Closer than it is now to the movie. I want to do, you know, some finishing touches.
It's pretty close. It's an amazing costume. Yeah, and thanks for chatting Star Wars with us. We weren't able to talk. When the movie came out, I was like, well, we're not going to spoil it. But then, like, when I met you, I was like, we're going to contact. And now everyone has seen it. You know, if you haven't, if you don't know Han Solo dies now.
And if not, screw you.
Yeah, by the way.
You should have seen it.
They should have left Han Solo in the carbonite. He was safer there, okay? So, like, you know, they could have at least had him hanging in the family room and he'd be okay. But really quickly, thank you so much for joining us. You thank and you. Your lovely fiancé or wife?
Wife.
All right. I saw the ring. Yep. So that's why, though.
Because Boba put a ring on it. He liked it and put a ring on
it. Exactly.
Spoiler alert.
All right, we got to do photos with him so everyone can see.
I just bought BobaSweat.com.
Yes! This is happening.
I'm just saying.
Only Podcast Detroit has that kind of power.
I got to be honest with you. I am friggin' amazed that it is available.
Boba Sweat.
Can we start naming our episodes, and can that be the name of this episode?
Well, and Jimmy name them, so I'm sure it's going to be Boba Sweat.
Boba Sweat, absolutely.
And then we'll have to have a picture of him somewhere in there. And Yeah, we'll be good. All right, we got to go to our much-needed break. When we come back at the 10-minute mark, we're going to talk to Michael Akers, who's throwing the event for Dom O'Grady. He passed. It's actually for his daughter at 34 of a heart attack, so stick around for that. We're going to try to track down Ed Williams just to talk to him for a little bit. And then we do have James Gray coming at the 8:30 mark. Thank you so much for enjoying the undercard, podcastdetroit.com. We'll see everyone in a few minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
Welcome back to The Undercard. It's officially episode 173. Beginning in the show, we were going to talk to Ed Williams, so we're going to call him up one more time. A little bit of miscommunication on the time of the interview, but here we go.
Hello.
Hey, Ed, it's Brad. You're live on the undercard. How are you tonight?
Hey, Brad, how you doing?
I'm very good. Thanks for joining us tonight. We're here to talk a little bit about February 6th. It's going down at the Masonic Temple. It's the Detroit Brawl. And for people that don't know, Ed Williams is a 10-1 boxer. Not only is he a 10-1 boxer, but one of the better personalities in the sport. So thank you so much for joining us tonight.
I appreciate you for having me.
All right, so tell us about what's going on February 6th in the Detroit Brawl and why people should be down there.
It's going to be an exciting fight. February 6th, you're going to see some of the best talent in Detroit come out, and it's going to be showcased. I'd like to appreciate and thank Salida Promotions for the opportunity, for giving our Detroit a platform. And, I mean, it's going to be exciting. And if you like excitement, if you like boxing, if you love Detroit, come out.
Now, for people that don't know you, you started way back in 2007 and then took a break from 2008 to 2013. Tell us what you were working on in between then. 2013, you got back into it and you were boxing full time.
Sure. I mean, I turned pro in 2007. I was also in school. So I was working on my bachelor's degree in engineering. I decided to focus on that. And once I completed my degree, I got back at it. I returned back to the ring in 2014 and been progressive ever since.
Now, do you do anything in the engineering field with that degree? That's absolutely great that you finished school and you're back at it. But do you do anything engineering away from boxing?
Well, I did. I was working in the oil and gas industry as a sales engineer for a few years, but now I'm 100% focused on boxing right now. So I'm thoroughbred at its best.
What's harder, engineering or being a boxer?
Engineering.
Engineering's harder than boxing. Oh, there you go.
The math. Math sucks.
Yeah, he's like, math sucks.
Math is hard. It
want really nothing is. To do
if
with
it,
that.
If it wasn't for all the math and thinking, I could totally be an engineer.
Exactly.
Yeah, see? You know? But I can't just be a fighter. That's all I'm saying.
Let's talk about February 6th is the Masonic Temple. It's the Detroit Brawl. People can get tickets at Ticketmaster.com, but they can also contact any of the fighters and get tickets too. This is a big event for you. Your last couple fights have been out of state. Let's talk about how important Detroit is and the talent you see around you.
Oh, man, the talent that Detroit has is just immaculate. I mean, if you know anything about boxing or you're just familiar with your city, Detroit has been well known for its boxing community. And people may say Detroit is losing its luster or it's a dying city, but that's needless to say. There are a lot of great future and upcoming and existing fighters that's from and fight out of Detroit.
Now, as you move along, 10-1 is a great record and stuff like that. What goals do you have as a professional? Everyone wants to be a champion and stuff like that. But besides being a champion, do you see yourself in boxing past fighting? Or is it something that as soon as you're done fighting, you walk away from it?
No, I don't think I'll ever walk away. I mean, I've been in boxing all my life. I got a late start. I didn't start boxing until 17. But, I mean, I was around boxing. My uncle was Dwayne Thomas, Emmanuel Stewart's first middleweight world champion. So, I mean, I was around the gym as a younger person, seeing Tommy Hearns, Jimmy Paul, Mill McCourty, those guys coming up. And finally getting an opportunity to be involved in the sport at 17. And so even once I'm done as a fighter, and I'm still going to be around, even if I'm just a lifetime fanatic fan or just giving my experience and knowledge that I have to someone else.
Now, you've been away from your loss to Marcus Beckford for a little bit here. It was a unanimous decision loss, six-round fight, but you're going into a six-round fight on Salida Promotions here. Tell us what you've learned so this doesn't happen again in a six-round fight, that you're ready.
I definitely learned, you know, not to leave it in the judges' hands. You know, I personally feel like everyone feels like the decision may be different from the judges. I mean, I know that I dropped a guy twice, and both times they counted it as a slip. So, but that's boxing. You have your ups and downs, and at the end of the day, if you want to progress, you have to move forward, win or loss. So, moving forward, you know, I'm learning to just be tactful, patient, not leaving it in the judges' hands, and putting up a hell of a fight.
All right, and really quickly, who do you like in the Detroit scene? Obviously, you like yourself because every boxer has to be confident, but there's a lot of great Detroit boxers out there. Who do you think's the next Detroit superstar out there?
Oh, man, that's hard. That's like asking, you know, who's better than yourself. But besides definitely myself, there are a lot of great guys out there. We have the exciting Ronnie Teflon. We have Eric DeLeon. We have Adam Muhammad. We have, I mean, there are a lot of great explosive upcoming talent. A lot of great guys. You know, not to leave anyone out, you know, from Tony Harrison. I mean, Detroit has a lot of talent. Dominique Dalton. I mean, the list can go on and on, but that's why I say Detroit has a lot of talent. So rather we're fighting on the local stage with the Detroit Brawler, you're watching some of those guys I named, or not to offend anyone, some of the guys I haven't mentioned, on the national platform of television. I mean, Detroit is definitely a brand to stand behind. And also I would like to guys to come out, because this is also going to be Midwest regional title fight representing the UBF title that I'm fighting for. So
that's perfect. There's a lot of great talent on this card. Tell everybody why they should get a ticket for the Detroit Brawl happening February 6th. Salida Promotions, available at Ticketmaster.com. Tell us in a few sentences why they got to do it.
You have to do it if you want to have the best February 6th weekend in the month. You have to get your ticket because they're going to sell out. So act fast.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Ed. We'll definitely talk to you after the fights. We'll be there February 6th, Masonic Temple. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon. Best of luck.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate Detroit. You guys enjoy your night and come out.
All right. That is Ed Williams. Like I said, one of the better personalities in boxing, and a great story. Goes and gets his engineering degree from Eastern Michigan and then continues and says engineering is more tough than boxing. So,
yeah, I mean, you know, math sucks. I mean, you know, when I was going to school, I took some math classes in the engineering, and there were brawls every day in the engineering department. You know, fisticuffs, body slams. You know, I mean, it's a tough degree.
All right, you're going to give us what's on tap.
Those were all in World
War, and then we're
going
to go over to Michael Akers after that. So let's do what's on tap, and then.
All right, this is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. Screw you, Dave. Screw you. once again, this is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. We're going to go over boxing first. January 19th, PBC on Fox Sports 1, we have James versus Molina. That's in Los Angeles. We have on Los Angelinos. On January 22nd, we have Showtime Boxing, the Challenger Series. That's just going to recap a bunch of past fights. We also have on January 23rd, PBC on Fox, Garcia versus Guerrero, once again in Los Angeles. And we have on January 23rd as well, Fight Night in Calgary, Alberta. For MMA.
Calgary.
Yeah, for MMA on January 22nd, we have LFC 50 Legacy Fighting Championships in Texas. We also have BFL, the Battlefield Fight League, in British Columbia, Canada. We on January 22nd as well. We also have Underground Battle Mixed Martial Arts Championship in the Philippines. On January 23rd, we have WFC 16, King of Sacramento in Sacramento, California. We also have World Series of Fighting 27, Holder versus...
Jimmy loves to talk about the sack.
Gant Zatov in Memphis, Tennessee. We also have on 23rd, ONE Championship 37, Dynasty of Champions. That one's in China. We also have on the 23rd, UFT, Universal Fighting Titanium. That's in the Ukraine. We also have Jungle Fight 85 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. Mm. And we have Slam 9, Slovakian Amateur MMA League, which is in Bratislava, Slovakia. I thought that was very funny. That's why I kept
Slam
that
Slam 9 is another...
Can you get any more niche than Slovakian MMA
is
amateur?
Hey,
you know what? There might be one listener to our show that really wants to see a Slovakian MMA amateur fight.
I'll tell you what I want. I want Dave to also buy Slam 9 as a...
see if it's available.
Yeah. I'm afraid to.
From now on, when I introduce David Phillips, it's going to be... IT and the D the host, but that will be second to the owner of BobaSweats.com.
Buyer of domains.
Yeah, buyer of domains.
server not found.
I'm afraid of how many domains I own at this point.
We seriously
Slam 9 I haven't put it anywhere yet.
Slam 9 is available, I'm just saying.
We do need to start a male strip club. Boba Sweat will be one. Slam 9 will be another one.
S-L-A-M-N-I-N-E. Let's see if...
Speaking of really quickly, Calgary... really quick.
Calgary?
Yeah, as he pronounced
it's
it.
Calgary?
Yeah. The Stampede is better than the Mardi Gras.
Oh,
so if you do Mardi Gras in New Orleans, go check out Calgary's Stampede. You will thank me forever. And you'll be like, you know what? That was better than Mardi Gras. And those guys know how to party.
Really? Just Slam 9?
Yeah. Slam you just so want them to buy stuff.
N-I-N-E.
There you go.
And but the number 9.
Or you can do the number 9.
Bye. Very cool. Thank you so much, Jimmy, for doing that.
Yep.
We're going to roll over and
that one is also
call
available.
Michael Akers here really quick. Michael Akers is throwing a benefit for Adam O'Grady. It is fight night. It's happening this weekend. So we're going to talk to him.
You should really make it an EDU.
Hello?
Hey, Mike. It's Brad. You're live on the undercard. How are you doing?
No, this is Thoroughbred again.
Oh, sorry about that, Ed. Hey, best of luck still. We're sending more luck.
We were just
go ahead and call Brett.
All right, take care. The magic of Skype.
Technology works like a charm.
All the time. Blow in the cartridge.
Did you try turning it off and turning it back on again?
And I own those now.
Yes! Wait. Slam 9 with the number or Slam 9 spelled out or both?
Yeah, all of the above.
Okay, yes.
Is it an EDU? Please make it an EDU.
I don't want that to be educational.
Well, it's educational for somebody.
Jimmy, you're nasty.
Boba Sweat, so I see some marketing. Right?
Yeah,
that's good.
I do too.
That's good.
Yeah.
A lot of CNC Music Factory going to make you
hopefully
sweat.
Hopefully this works.
Yeah.
I mean, if it doesn't, I really don't know.
Hello, this is Mike.
Hey, Mike, this is Brad. You're live on the undercard. How are you tonight?
Hey, I'm good, Brad. How are you, man?
Good. We are joined by Michael Akers. He's throwing a special benefit for Dom O'Grady. We're going to let him talk a little bit about Dom. And what he meant to Michigan MMA and MMA. But you're throwing an event. Tell everybody about this event that's happening this weekend. And the proceeds go to his daughter, who was left behind after we lost Dom a little too early at the age of 34 for a heart attack.
That's right. His daughter's name is Evelyn. She's 2 years old. And all the proceeds for this show will go directly into a trust fund for Evelyn. For her to have a future. Dom definitely left us way too early. The event is this Saturday, January 23rd. It's at Barrister Gardens in St. Clair Shores. It's presented by Premier Fighting Alliance, which was Dom's company, and the Hate Squad, who was Dom's group. Everybody's been great. You know, I get a lot of thank yous for putting on this show, but I'm super glad that you allowed me to come on tonight. I just wanted to say that there is absolutely zero way that this show would happen without all of the support of everybody stepping up. And if it's okay, I'd like to shout out a few people now.
Oh, dude, yeah.
First and foremost, I want to give a shout out to Jeanette, Dom's fiance. She is an absolutely amazing woman, supportive. She was everything to Dom. The entire Hate Squad, Billy Garrison, Billy Ward, Mitch Feiler, Dominic Lucretio, Chris Lush, Connor Hager, Eric Hagel, the entire Hate Squad have been absolutely amazing. Carolyn Biscup's driving 3.5 hours donating her cage for the cause. We have Phil Davey driving all the way out from Traverse City to announce the show. We have Brian Duca arranging all of the security for the benefit of the show. We have PB's that's in the same parking lot as Barrister Gardens doing the weigh-ins and the after party. We have a lot of fighters stepped up to fight. You know, Brennan Seguin has his whole Boss Fight Team fighting on the card. I have a lot of the Hate Squad guys. Russell Campbell, a guy that I've watched fight since he was 15 years old with parents' consent. The guy is now training under Drew Murray and Clinton Smith. He's now 21 years old. He's going pro this year. He's looking for sponsors. I mean, everybody has stepped up. Chris Lush, a dear friend of Dominic's, he designed the posters. He designed the tickets. And just all the support from everybody fighting on the card. You know, in 3.5 weeks, I have 12 fights and a kickboxing match set for Saturday.
That's absolutely awesome. It truthfully is.
It really is, you know. And if, you know, you said talk a little bit about Dom. You know, a lot of people knew Dom as the personality that you ran into at a show. Somebody, you know, for all the amateur fighters, a guy that, you know, repped their show and showed them guidance. Chris Lush said it best, you know, when he believed that Dom O'Grady was the pioneer of Michigan mixed martial arts. And if not, he was definitely one of them. He guided so many people, man. Not everybody knew, you know, Dom on a personal level. Dom recently joined the Navy. He was turning everything around. He was going back to school. Dom was very, very active in the anti-bullying community. You know, he was first and foremost a daddy to that little girl, Evelyn. You know, so specifically, he left Evelyn behind, he left Jeanette, and he left his mom, and he left so many friends, fans, and partners that, you know, he really left an impact on all of our lives. And, you know, this is the least all of us could do for somebody that meant that much to so many people. So, you know, I really hope everybody, you know, come out, open your hearts. We have a lot of raffles going on at the show. Dom's old roommate, John Bate, was able to get so many donations. We're going to be raffling that kind of stuff off at the show. Every proceed is going to go towards that little girl. Anthony LeBron, from Every Victory Earned, designed an amazing...
The shirt looks amazing. Saw it on Facebook. Amazing.
The shirt's amazing, man. That's going to be for sale all night at the show, with over half the proceeds going directly into that trust fund. So, you know, this event that you know, I'm not going to say me, but we are all putting on together is really special. So I hope everybody comes out this Saturday and just show some love and support for one of our own.
You know, it's funny because Dom O'Grady's nickname was obviously "I Hate You So Much," but you found out how many people really loved him. And I remember my first memory with him was February 17th. I actually know the day because it was the weigh-ins for the IFL at the Palace of Auburn Hills, February 17th, 2012. And you know, the people that are responsible for checking in pro fighters and making sure their paperwork's correct, they're kind of – they go through the motions. But I remember sitting there with them, and Dom O'Grady had fought out of state, I think later – or earlier that month in January. And they were talking with Dom O'Grady, like, hey, where have you been fighting? They really enjoyed him. And Dom always made weigh-ins really funny with his classic pose and stuff like that. But that was my first experience with Dom O'Grady, knowing that he's a different cat, you know. But anytime the Michigan officials talk to you, you must got your stuff going on, because they typically don't like to talk to a lot of the fighters. But they knew Dom O'Grady. He had fought a lot out of the state. He was typically, as you said, maybe the pioneer of Michigan MMA. You knew of Dom O'Grady. You knew of his past and what he had done for Michigan MMA. And so I cannot thank you enough for doing this. And, you know, his daughter's going to thank you. And, you know, hopefully it's something that we will continue to remember for a long time and pull together some efforts for his daughter. But if you could leave us with, like, one memory of something that you had with Dom, and why should people, besides the fight card, should come out this Saturday?
Dom loved everybody. He didn't hate everybody. Half of the friends that I have are because of Dom O'Grady. Dom brought everybody together. And if you did something wrong and this person didn't like you and that person didn't like you, Dom would justify the way this person is to this person and bring them together. Dom didn't know it. And I hear this from Dom's fiance, Jeanette, every day. Dom had no idea how many people's lives he affected. So if not for the fight card, come out, because Dom cared about everybody so deeply and nobody understood that. Like I said, his extreme involvement in anti-bullying and just his laugh was something else. He made everybody laugh. He left a legacy behind in his little girl. And Dom is one of those guys that earned every part of where he came in mixed martial arts. He came from the era where he had to earn every step. Dom didn't look like your typical fighter. He earned it. And he trained so many people to get to where they're at today. So Dom cared and helped absolutely everybody. So if you have the night free, if you can make the night free, please come out and show your support for the guy that supported everybody.
Now, really quickly here, if they are not able to make it, is there any way that they could get money to his daughter and his family? Is there a P.O. box or anything that's set up yet? We might have some listeners that are unable to make it this Saturday but do want to help out Dom's daughter.
Sure, that's a great question. So Billy Ward arranged a GoFundMe page. It's been up since just after Dominic passed. I will share the link immediately on my Facebook. I will tag you in it. And if anybody cannot make the show and wants to donate, you go directly to that GoFundMe page and drop whatever you can in there. $1 is appreciated. Anything is appreciated. It all goes for a really good cause.
Well, thank you so much for joining us, Michael. You're doing a great thing here for Dom O'Grady. And so that's Michael Akers. We're going to make our profile pick sometime later this week. We encourage everybody to go check it out. Once again, hype the event. Where is it? Where can tickets be bought? And tell everybody about the event one more time.
Absolutely. Thank you. So it's this Saturday, January 23rd at Barrister Gardens in St. Clair Shores. For tickets, you can call 248-245-2699. Again, that's 248-245-2699. It's in St. Clair Shores, Barrister Gardens, Premier Fighting Alliance and the Hate Squad. Come out and show your love for Dom, his family, and watch some really good fights.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us, Michael. I'm sure we'll talk on Facebook. You take care, buddy.
Yeah, you too, man. Thanks for having me.
All right, that's Michael Akers throwing the event. We're going to post all week, so go out and support Dom's daughter, who is, like we said, left way behind really too early, 34 years of age, dies of a heart attack. Everyone knew him in the MMA world, and so we're just trying to help out his daughter here. We're going to go to our really quick song break here. We're going to come back. We got James Gray. We got David Phillips hanging out here. We're going to talk about how cool Boba Fett was, too. And we're going to close with that. That's a really good costume, dude. I've seen some shit costumes. That's
gonna
a really good
one.
Going to
make you Boba Sweat. That's the new theme.
Going to make you Boba Sweat. Chill your stream. Dude, the best thing is, like, I didn't even, like, nurse it. Well, we had a I'll come clean. We had a pre-production meeting, me and you.
Right.
And I had a few beers already. I went right after it.
I still didn't know what I was walking into. Dude,
no, I went straight to it. I was like, has he ever dressed as Boba Fett for you in the bedroom? And you're like, yeah, it does has been. I like right to the point. Boom. Because I knew what Marv was thinking. And Marv was going to make it more dirty. And I was like, I'll ask
does
first.
The giant
so Marv,
missile fire. Right.
But who knew?
We actually did talk about that.
But
I asked if he was ever intimidated by it.
But Boba Sweats, as this episode will always be known as. So last song break, and we'll be back with James Gray calling him up. We'll talk to everyone soon.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.
I feel good. We are back. David's like,
wait
this
for
is
it.
How it goes on Tuesdays?
Wait for it. Wait for it.
We're back.
And
are
we're
we?
Live.
are we really?
Welcome to Undercard 173. This is brought to you, this segment, by BobaSweats.com. It's a new company if you haven't heard of it, but I guarantee you there will be an image up probably by the end of the night.
All Boba Sweats all the time.
All Boba Sweats all the time.
That's right.
We're going to call James Gray here really quick from Scorpion Fighting Systems. Lots of announcements. These guys are kicking ass, taking names as they always do. We want to thank David Phillips for joining us, Ring Girl Sarah, Ken Willard, who was our guest earlier, Boba Fett, Ed Williams, professional boxer fighting February 6th, also our guest earlier. Getting my thank yous out of the way. Voicemail. I'm going to say it's voicemail time.
Yeah, you think so?
You have reached the voicemail box of 517.
It's all right. We'll call him back in 2 seconds.
0-7-5.
Yeah. Oh. Don't leave it anyways. It's James Gray.
We don't
know Ooh. What Marv's going to say.
I was going to say that I was calling on behalf of BobaSweat.com to confirm his membership. I just want to point out there's a podcast called Boba Sweat, apparently.
Is there?
Wow. It's on SoundCloud. Boba Sweat by Jay Wilson of Austin, Texas.
Wow.
Okay, does it have anything to do with Star Wars?
I don't know. Boba Sweat. JP doesn't ride in cars.
No.
All right, so we were talking about Star Wars. Let's continue on with this really quickly because I feel comfortable talking about spoilers, because if you haven't seen the movie, you're not that interested.
Spoiler
alert!
Brad, and like I ask because this is you and it was at the event. Should we just go ahead and take care of business?
Oh yeah, do it,
because we have business to attend to.
We do have business to attend.
Oh, what's
we
going
do,
on?
We do, because someone is a Miss Michigan competitor.
Oh yeah.
Whoa.
Marv staring at that like it's a piece of meat.
So David came.
He just fucking peeled 8 Franklins out of his wallet, and there's more in there.
4 of his people were taken to Lucasfilms. We are not talking about Dairy Queen. We're talking Lucasfilms.
I guess.
Because we're sponsoring Sarah.
Very cool.
Yay.
Absolutely
we
awesome.
Said we would.
That's absolutely awesome.
We had the XICW, the 50-50 drawing. That's the balance from that.
Hey, really quickly, we got to get a picture of you guys really quick.
Yeah, exchanging money. Let's
That won't come back to haunt me at all.
Boba
Sweats.
Hold
up the money. There you go.
Boba Sweats. All right.
There you go.
Let's talk about that really quick. We are joined by Ring Girl Sarah, and we haven't really dived into. You are quite the pageant star, so tell us what's going on with your Mish Miss Michigan campaign?
So I'm competing in March, I believe March 12th and 13th. It's the Miss Michigan Midwest competition. So it's through Supra International, which is like the production company that does it. If I win that, I get to go to Florida to compete for Miss US. And then if I win that, I get to go to either Tokyo or Poland.
Wow.
Nice.
And you'll never acknowledge knowing us ever again. You'll be like, Podcast Detroit.
Who?
I'm sorry, dude. I got people that take those phone calls. Yeah. So, pageant. So we obviously, what was the name? Steve Harvey made pageants cool again
by misannouncing. God.
But you know what? It worked out for Miss Columbia.
Giant conspiracy theory.
I think it was done on purpose.
They did it on purpose.
Yeah. Because everybody's talking
Trump
about
it. Trump sold
it
off. Nobody cares. Yeah. Who's paying attention?
Yep.
Everyone was talking about it for an entire week.
Even at the Golden Globes, Jamie Foxx did a. I don't know if you guys watched it. He did a thing like the category he was announcing. He said that like best song from a movie went to. Whatever, it was wrong anyways. Like, or the went to best picture. Straight Outta Compton, and then he's like, "Oh, it's right here on the card. I'm sorry." So yeah, so I mean, people are joking about it at the awards ceremonies.
I think they did it because USA used to be owned by Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So he was in a lot of conspiracy. We had a lot of pageant sponsors drop out. Macy's no longer sponsored them and like stuff like that. So they're losing sponsors. Finally, Donald Trump sells it, and then it switches hands again. And then, it wasn't televised anymore and, like, stuff like that. And then they got it back on TV.
Sabato Gigante Internacional.
Yeah. So after that, now it's, like, really popular and, like, now they're getting more sponsors.
Yep.
And so I think it was publicity stunt.
Totally.
It's like the girls who trip on purpose. Like, the judges will notice them.
But, no, so we are happy to help you do what you're doing.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
It's all about this
much.
Relationship, and we want you to do well.
She was a little verklempt.
She thought we were kidding. I know she thought we were kidding.
I
tried to tell her, like, no, you're all good.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
I hope it goes well.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll keep you guys updated.
Yeah. You got to embrace your geekism, though. Somehow in a gown or one of your answers with world peace or something. You're quite the geek.
Gold bikini.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
So if you're
absolutely
what he said. So if your question is about some third world country who's in like a lot of like turmoil or something like that, if you could like make it like something Star Wars, like this reminds me of the problem Alderaan had. It would be awesome, you know? It'd be like it sounds
very Trade Federation blockade of Naboo.
Yeah.
My dress is actually like James Bond inspired.
There we go.
Oh, nice.
Also not bad.
Not too bad. We talking Sean Connery James Bond or Pierce Bronson? What era?
There was some like shit all ones. Over. Just like,
anal bum
like...
cover for $400. That's an album cover.
That's not what your mother said, Trebek.
I'll take The Rapist. That's therapist.
Listen to me, you greasy dangle. Moo.
Well, that's what your mother said last night.
Your gown has a little bit of geekism, you're saying? Or
yeah, I mean, it was
James
like
Bond.
The all over like James Bond kind of feel to it. There wasn't anything specific about it, but I saw it and I was like, this is like James Bond.
Nice.
So it looks like spy.
Because James Bond wore a lot of gowns.
Some of the cutscenes, yes. And if you read the original Fleming novels.
He had some questionable moments.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
Diamonds are forever.
Stop it.
Octa what? Ew.
I like gold member.
Gold finger.
I'll say.
He had a golden finger.
talent. Talent's a big thing. What is your talent?
Well, for the pageants that I do, we don't have a talent. That's
okay.
Just, there's a few pageants that do it, but it's mostly just like the Miss America systems.
Mm-hmm. If they sprung a talent, though, they said, this show, talent show, what would you do?
Smiling and waving.
Okay. That, respect. That's good. Oh,
yeah,
that's
I'm really good at it. I practice.
I could. Would you like me to teach you to tie a cherry stem in a knot with your tongue? That should get. That should get.
Why do you know how to do that?
Lesbian taught me how to do that. It's awesome, actually.
Interesting story.
I don't know that I buy that.
No, it was. A lesbian actually taught me how to do that in high school. Yeah.
Okay.
And I can do it. I've been impressed with some of the ladies.
That's how she got him to. You know, she didn't want to kiss him. She said, "I'll teach you this."
Now I was aware she was a lesbian. Yeah. I mean, she didn't want to kiss me either way, but.
So, Sarah, how long have you been doing pageants for?
So, this is going to be my third pageant. I've been doing pageants for 2 years now.
So, what's the meanest thing you've seen a girl do to another girl? See, like, behind the scenes.
Honestly, it's not like that at all. Like, everyone's really? Super nice. Everyone, we lend each other stuff. We help each other with our hair, our makeup. Yeah. It's
you're not, like Miss
not Link? Catty no. at all. I mean, there's always one girl that's, like, kind of, like, you know, in a mood or whatever, but like everyone else is like really nice. Like,
well, now, dude, the girls that you compete with, have they come up through like the junior pageants and stuff too, or have they all started at a later age?
I mean, it depends on who you talk to. Like, it's okay. all different.
Because I would see the catty ones being the ones that grew up in the pageant.
Yeah, I mean, the glitz pageants, like Toddlers and Tiaras, a lot different than like adult pageants because it's more about scholarship right. money when you're an adult. But like the glitz pageants are a little bit
And there's a good follow-up. So if you win, like what's the prize at the end of it, and what do you want to do?
So I don't think this one has a scholarship prize. I think I have to win it. Florida for the scholarship prize, or I have to win. I know the all over pageant, like in Poland or Tokyo, is like $10,000 cash, and then like a bunch of other like sponsorship stuff. This pageant, if I win, I get all my expenses paid to the next level.
Okay,
so
it's pretty good.
I'd go to Florida for free, and then you know do all the sponsorships. You know, we get a photo shoot
because like, you know Poland or Tokyo, either way, pretty little blonde girl, she's good.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't know if you go to Poland, there's a lot of pretty little blonde girls.
And actually, if
you go to Tokyo, that's a little bit different.
If you go to Tokyo, don't let yourself be alone with any businessmen.
Yeah, no. No, not at all.
No.
I don't think they'll ever let us alone.
Probably not.
If you do make Florida, though, we're going to drive you down there, Little Miss Sunshine style, all the way down to Florida.
Absolutely.
We're going to be there.
Road trip. Absolutely.
Yeah. Exactly. No, that's going to happen. That's going to happen.
Podcast Detroit road trip.
Absolutely.
Right. Absolutely.
I'll pack up the road gear. Off we go.
There we go.
Broadcasting live from Florida as Ring Girl Sarah goes for. That's really cool, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
So can people follow your career? Everybody knows you that listens, and they follow us on Facebook.com/Radio Undercard. But if they want to follow you away from Undercard and want to follow your pageant career, you do have a fan page. Send it out.
Yeah, I do. It's just Facebook.com/Sarah S. Model Actress, or you can follow my Instagram, which I post on that more. And then it's just Instagram at Sarah Ann Schaffner.
And you were advertising a movie. You were in a movie that's actually at Redbox. So it's
with her mom.
Redbox. Yeah, my mom was in it too. It is Rodeo Girl. I was one of the swing dancers, some of the swing dancer scenes, and I'm in the background in some of the crowds. You can get that at Redbox, I think, starting the 17th. Oh, it's the 19th, so you can get it now. And I'm in another one coming out soon. I don't have the date on it yet, but that one's called Crowning Jewels, and I have a featured role in that one.
All right.
Sweet.
So, I actually play a pageant girl, which is why I got that
method acting.
Yep. Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
Both titles will be just available like at Boba Sweats later this week. Exactly. Just go to the web store and buy it there. So thank you so much, David. David's been supporting us really quick. David Phillips, his show is IT and the D. It's on PodcastDetroit.com. They stuck with the later shift always, 9 to 11. We moved early. But we've known him for 3 years. He supports the undercard immensely. We had a meeting earlier. Absolutely love everything he does.
We go back to the bad place.
The Russell. The Russell. Yeah.
No.
Still have nightmares. I wake up sometimes.
I know.
We're trading Russell stories earlier at the meeting. And, you know, everyone's like, oh, my God.
Oh, yeah. Damn. Well, I saw.
I know. Thank God. What a nightmare. Anyways, thank you so much, David, for helping out Ring Girl Sarah and everything you guys do for us and everything. David Phillips, one of two that we're very familiar with. Bob, I know you have another third host, but IT and the D, that's 9 to 11 on PodcastDetroit.com.
On Mondays.
On Mondays, yeah. And we're 7 to 9 on Tuesday. See, I know that, Mark.
Just checking.
And,
just putting that out.
I thought maybe you were going to make us wait till the break to tell us.
No. We gotta leave because it's Corner with K Hub, so we gotta get out of here. It's 5:54. Thank you so much, David Phillips, for supporting and really supporting. Thank you so much for supporting Ring Girl Sarah and us. Thank you, Rochelle, for working the board. Wanna thank Ken Willard, who was our Boba Fett. We want to thank Ed Williams for joining us, a professional boxer fighting February 6th. Masonic Temple. David's going to be there.
Oh, yeah, we are.
They're going to lose money.
Open
that
bar.
Night, exactly. Challenge accepted.
VIP with an open bar. Challenge accepted.
Challenge accepted.
Oh, goodness.
I know. Yeah, they're going to lose money that night.
They know not what to
do. So, David is actually going to be there. I want to thank Marv and Jimmy. They don't get enough credit, but they do a lot behind the scenes with the undercard. Follow us on Facebook.com/radio undercard. We're going to post all week for the Dom O'Grady benefit at Barrister Gardens. That's in St. Clair Shores, Michigan. Tickets are 248-245-2699. Go out and support him and his daughter. Once again, Dom O'Grady left us way too early. And we will be back next Tuesday. Same shenanigans. James Gray couldn't make the show, but I'm sure he'll be next week announcing everything SFS. Take care.
This is a previously recorded episode of The Undercard, Hand Combat Radio.